Good morning, everybody. A couple weeks ago, we had Bishop Henry give us a message welcoming us to 2019, and it was a message that was challenging us to focus on what our priorities are. And then we had Larry give us a message last week, and it was a message that was a challenge to me, and it was about what kind of an example are we setting for other people? Are we representing Christ? Are we representing our Heavenly Father the way that we actually should? And my message today is called Growth for 2019, and some of you, when you look at that, especially from a churchy point of view, when a church says we're going to grow in 2019, what most people think of is numbers-wise. But that is not the focus of us here at New Hope Christian Center. Our focus is on how much you individually grow spiritually in the year 2019. And how many of you can look back on 2018 and say, you know what, I hope I'm better in 2019. I hope my life is better in 2019. I've never met anyone at the beginning of a new year going, you know, last year was pretty good, and I hope this year is a little worse than it was last year. It just doesn't make any sense. And so today we're going to take a look at growth, and we're going to look at the juxtaposition of physical growth, which is what every single one of us goes through. And I don't know about you, but I had a little more physical growth over the holidays than I wanted to, and I didn't intend to. It just happened. But we're going to take a look at physical growth, and then we're going to parallel it with spiritual growth. And when we live in our physical realm, we deal with people, and we see the outside. We hear their voice. We hear, we live and we have relationships with them through our senses. And so we see things in certain ways, in certain people. But in the physical realm, you don't really see where that person is. You can see the outward appearance. You can see some people that seem like incredible people of faith. And then all of a sudden, something happens, and it's your idea of where they are spiritually is crushed. So we're going to take a look at what the scriptures say about the growth process, because the scriptures are full of allusions or metaphors, and they often talk about infants. They often talk about babies. They often talk about a child or children. And the Bible also talks about maturing. So we're going to take a look first at infants and babies in the scriptures. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So when you bring a newborn baby home, you give that baby some kind of nourishment, and usually it's formula or breast milk or whatever it is, but you are giving that baby an opportunity to grow, are you not? That baby needs nourishment. You don't bring the baby home, set it on the kitchen table and say, okay, this is where we keep the vegetables, there's things in the freezer, go ahead and help yourself. So when we bring a baby home, physically this is what we see. And you know what, babies are so cute. And I think other babies, other people's babies, are really cute because I get to give them back. But we see with our eyes, physically, where that baby is in its development, do we not? When you look at that, you go, that is a baby. That is, nobody looks at that and goes, well, is he going to be driving next year? No, you look at it physically, you look at the attributes, and you say, that is a baby. And then there's a parallel with spiritual babies. And it says that you are to crave pure spiritual milk. Why? Because you can't handle a steak. You feed that baby a steak, you're going, CPS will be called. It can't eat meat. It needs milk to develop, to grow. When we first become Christians, in the spiritual sense, this is what we look like. It says that the angels rejoice when someone becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. And they look down and they see in the spiritual realm that there's a new one in the family, a spiritual baby. And it's up to the people around them to begin to feed that baby. Unfortunately, there are a lot of churches and their main focus is to make babies. And I know some of y'all are messed up in the head. But no, that is their main focus. And they just get them saved, just get them saved. We want converts, just get them saved. Unfortunately, that's not what Jesus said. He said, go and make what? Disciples. Go and make disciples. So why? So they can take care of and help raise up these babies. See, if you have a baby and you put all the babies together and there's no adults to watch over them, what's going to happen? They're going to perish. They will perish because they can't feed themselves. Unfortunately, a lot of churches are full of spiritual babies with no one to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And so we see this in the physical realm, it's a baby. In the spiritual realm, it's a baby. Is it not? But then we read some scriptures as far as growth. Because when that baby is brought in to the kingdom, we're not supposed to stay that way. We are not supposed to stay babies. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. It says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. This, the author of Hebrews is saying, you are not supposed to be here anymore. So if this is your baby, can you go back to that, David, the picture of the baby? If this is your baby, and we come and visit your baby, and then we don't see you for 3 or 4 years, and we go back and we see what should be a child, and we see this after 4 years, is there not something wrong? If you physically look at the baby and go, wait a minute, that's a 4-year-old, but they still look and act like a baby. There's something wrong here. Yet, in the spiritual realm, it's very common. I know some people who have been Christians for years and years and years, and they're still right there spiritually in their walk with God. They've gotten to the place where they're fine. Or they've been told, you're fine just the way you are. And you stay there spiritually. It says, going back, it says, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Here is a teacher who is trying to raise this child up, and they're not even trying to understand the meatier things of the scriptures. They're not even trying to understand. They're saying, I am okay where I'm at. I am saved, and I'm good with that. Leave me alone. I'll live however I want to. Thank you very much. And when we stay like that, we don't even try to understand anymore. I've had some people come to me. It's like, well, you know, I don't want to be bothered with all of that stuff. Me and God, we're good. Me and Jesus, we're bros. If you think of Jesus as your bro, there's something wrong. You have a very wrong idea of who he is and who we are in the family of God. I never talked about my dad as being my bro. Yo, bro, what's up? He would have pounded me. 6'4", 275, he would have squished me like a grape. I had a respect for my father because he was my father. But oftentimes people stay in this state as a baby. And this says, no, you're not supposed to be in that state anymore. In fact, you've been there way too long. The author of Hebrews says, though by this time you ought to be teachers. You ought to be growing up and starting to teach other people about the principles of what it means to be a Christian. Yet, you need someone to teach you the basic facts again. It's like someone who is in the school system who just gets past first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade because they show up and they get a participation badge for it. Never learning the elementary truths of mathematics or science or anything like that. And then they get into later on in their schooling, they have no idea because they've never been taught the elementary things. You see, if you're going to be a scientist at Washington State, or take science at Washington State University or Eastern or wherever, you better have learned math prior to that class. I knew a guy that was, he's actually from East Valley, and he was a professor down at Washington State University in the physics department. And he was in charge of the curriculum on what they taught, how they taught it, and he was the overseer. And he said that at one time he had a few of the board members come to him and say, we think that your requirements to get into the physics class are a little bit too tough. And he says, well, what do you mean? And he said, they literally said, there's too much math that you require. He says, how can I eliminate math out of physics? It's kind of the elementary basic foundation that you need in order to study physics. It's kind of like someone going to the board, the medical board, and say, you know what, I really want to be a doctor, but I don't like the sight of blood. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to a doctor or a surgeon who doesn't like the sight of blood. It's kind of part of the job, is it not? So you have the dumbing down, and he says, you should be teaching these things, but you have to go back and learn the elementary truths all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, is not acquainted with those things that you learn as you proceed through your walk with Jesus Christ. Sanctification, all of those things. It means nothing if you can't understand the elementary truths of loving God and loving one another. Because those are just words. They mean absolutely nothing. And he says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves. See, when we become Christians, we need to understand that it is a process, it is a daily walk, striving to get better and better and better. Understanding who God is, understanding who we are in Christ, and it will take an effort. It will take time. It will take you and me reevaluating the priorities in my life. When Jesus had the rich young man, he said, follow me. Follow me. Walk alongside of me, and I'll show you. And he goes, nah, I'm kind of busy. And then he had some other, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. And Jesus said, okay, fine. He was showing them that they needed to learn how to feed themselves. See, those babies, they can't feed themselves. They need someone else to prop them up and to shove a bottle into their mouth. And when they begin to get a little bit older, they can't grab a spoon, put it in the strained peas or whatever it is, and put it to their own mouth. They can't do that. But if they're 15 years old and you're still spoon feeding them, there's something wrong. Unfortunately, spiritually, there are a lot of infants in the church that should have been a lot more mature. And it's going to take effort. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? You see, when you have an older person who acts like a baby, it's not cool. It's like, grow up. Would you just grow up, please? But we have the same thing if we look at the parallel in the spiritual realm. We have a lot of people who should be more mature acting like babies. Do we not? He says, if there's quarreling and jealousy among you, are you not acting like mere humans? So these are things that are challenging us not to stay status quo where we are in our spiritual walks. These are verses that are challenging us to move forward so that we can become the people that God has called us to be, so that we can do the things that he's called us to do. Now, my daughters, I trained them up to be able to do certain things. When they were babies, I did not say, Ashley, I know you're just a baby, but I want you to mow the lawn. You don't do that. But when she grew up and got older, I could go to her and say, Ashley, I want you to mow the lawn. And I have to have shown her how to do that. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody who's mowing the lawn for the first time that has no idea what they're doing. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. Yeah, just don't put your hands in there. That's all. Just don't do that. But that we are called to grow. And so we're going to take a look at the next stage in development. It's child or children. And so we have a picture of a child here. And look how happy he is. He's no longer a baby. He's a child. He's right where he should be developmentally. He's right along the spectrum there. And as Christians, there should be a natural progression of growth. Now, did he go from baby to child just like that in one day? No, he did not. It's a slow process. See, we are where we are spiritually, and that's okay, unless we should be further along than we really are. Correct? So we have a child here, and it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. See, your thinking should go right along with where you are in your developmental stage. A baby thinks about being comfortable. They want food. They want to be comforted. That's just about it. Sometimes they don't even care if you change them. They eat, sleep, be comfortable. as spiritual babies, you should just be happy. I want to be comfortable. I want to be fed. And I want to be safe. That is a natural place to be. But you can't stay there. As a child, you begin to develop. Your thought processes begin to develop. They begin to get a little bit more mature. They should be right along with that spectrum. Spiritually, same thing. The same exact thing. Stop thinking like children. When you're an adult and you think like a child, you're in for a really difficult time. I've had so many people come to me for counseling. Jim, this is what's going on. Well, what are you doing? Well, and then they describe it. And it's like, what are you, in middle school, on the playground again? You're a 35-year-old man. What is wrong with you? But they see it as normal. Their thinking has not developed. They say, stop thinking like a child and think like an adult. You should think where you are appropriately in your development, spiritually and physically. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I still think like a child. No. No. And you know what? Sometimes we have these moments where we act like a child. Let's just face it. Well, maybe that's just me. But he says, I put the ways of childhood behind me. I don't revisit them anymore. If someone takes my pen at the office, I don't go tell the teacher. I go steal two of their pens. But we need to be where we are appropriately in our spiritual walk, and we should be every day looking to grow a little bit more and more. Because it says we are to grow up and we are to mature. The next verse is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. We're to grow up. We're to mature. Every day is to be a little bit different and a little bit better than yesterday. Some people, though, they just kind of just wander through reality. They wander through the physical realm. Oh, yeah, well, whatever happens, happens. I'm just blowing with the wind. And sometimes we do that in our spiritual walks as well. Well, you know, whatever happens. I might go to church this week. I might not. I might do this. I might not. And they just kind of let things happen to them. And they go around and they wander. I hate that bumper sticker that says, not all who wander are lost. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because according to the scriptures, it says, I have a purpose and I have a plan for your life. He gives us, and we're going to read this in the next verse. Let's go ahead and read it right now. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Why? So that you can wander through life. It's not what it says. It says to equip his people for works of service. You see, God has something for you to do. Each and every one of us have a purpose that God has made specific to us. He has a purpose and a plan, and he wants you to reach certain people that other people cannot reach. He puts you into situations. He puts you into jobs. He gives you desires of your heart so that you can be equipped to do the things that he's called us to do. And if we remain spiritual babies where all we're worried about is feed me, feed me, feed me, 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 I, we cannot hear, nor are we equipped to do what God has called us to do. Now, God is not going to call a baby to go and be a missionary to Zimbabwe. But he may begin to put people in that baby's life to nourish, to encourage, to build up, so that he can later on use that baby who has now become an adult to reach other people, to be an appropriate representation of God's love to other people. He's called us, and in Christ gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of and fullness of Jesus Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. See, there comes a point when we are no longer to be infants. We are to grow up. We are to mature. And you know what? You never stop growing. Paul says, you know what? I have not attained everything that God has called me to do. If you still have a breath in your body, God is not done with you. Little Miss Dorothy, I bless her heart. If you don't know Dorothy, she's 95. 97? Ay, caramba. She's 97 years old. That woman is a prayer warrior. She doesn't care that her hands don't work. She doesn't care that she has to use a walker. You know why? Because in the spiritual realm, that woman wields a big old sword. She has protected you and your families more than you ever know. The enemy has been held at bay in a lot of people's lives because of that little old lady. And she does not feel the effects of the years on her body in her spirit at all. She is sharp as a tack. Her body, not so much. But God bless her, she doesn't care. She is a warrior. She is an incredible woman of God. And spiritually, she is right where she's supposed to be. And you know what? She still has a breath in her body, which means God ain't done with her yet. And the reason I believe he's not done with her yet is because he hasn't raised up her replacement yet. Now, how many of you would want to sign up for that? I don't know if I would. She came to me and she goes, Pastor, I looked in the mirror and I said, Lord, I don't think anybody's meant to be 97 years old. But obviously, she is meant to be 97. And it wouldn't surprise me if she outlived me. But she's doing what God has called her to do. Because there's a lot of people that would say, I have to use a walker. My hands don't work anymore. I can't be used by God anymore. Absolutely wrong. Dorothy says, I have a walker, so what? My hands don't work, so what? I can still yield a huge spirit, a sword in the spiritual realm. Dorothy has no limitations in the spiritual realm. In fact, I would imagine the enemy does not like to see her coming. No way. In the physical realm, he'd love to just take her out. In the spiritual realm, that dude runs with his tail between his legs, I guarantee you. So what, and I look at myself and I say, well, what limitations have I put on myself that is keeping me from being who God has called me to be in the spiritual realm? Well, It's like Moses. Well, I can't do that. Well, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to tell him to let my people go. Well, I don't talk too good. No, you know, I don't talk very good, you know. And God goes, you know, I'll be with you. I will be with you. That was Sylvester Stallone saying that. And he says, I don't care how you talk or don't talk. I'm sending you to do something. And then he's like, well, you know, you've got the wrong guy. I can't do that. Why is he going to listen to me, huh? Who should I say sent me, huh? And God says, tell him I am. I am sent you. He's like, all right. And he did it. How many of us make excuses for where we are in our spiritual walk? Well, you know, my body hurts. Well, you know, I'm busy. Well, you know, I haven't studied the word enough. Well, you know, I'm just not pretty enough. Well, you know, that's just not me. Well, you know, that's just not my personality. Well, you know, well, you know, well, you know, well, you know. The next time you have a well, you know, think about Dorothy. That woman inspires me. I get tired. I get cranky. I was like, I don't want to do this thing anymore. And then I think about Dorothy. How many of you have had Dorothy come in and just dump on you? Complain about this, complain about that, negative, negative, negative. I guarantee you not one of you. Because she doesn't focus on that. You see, we have a lot of people that like to focus on the negative. And Dorothy says, I don't give a rip what's going on around me. I'm going to kick some enemy booty. And she does. And she does. So how do we grow? How do we move beyond? How does a baby grow? You give them nourishment, do you not? Physically, you have to give them nourishment. Spiritually, you have to be fed. You have to be fed. 2 Peter says 1, verse 5 through 7. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Add to your faith. The faith is the baby aspect, correct? When we become Christians, we are baby Christians. Spiritually, we are Christians. And he says, make every effort when you become a baby to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. It says add to. Add to a little bit at a time. Because if you tried to shove that down somebody, they couldn't handle it all. You start with the strained peas and the strained carrots, and then you move on to some oatmeal, and you move on to more solid foods and rice and all of these things, unless your baby's keto. But you add to these things. We are to add spiritually to our faith, to that little baby. We are to add. We are to begin to nourish ourselves with these things. And that is going to take time. You are where you are spiritually. I am where I am spiritually. But I can take an inventory like Pastor Henry said and see, you know what? I'm not really where I want to be. After the holidays, I got on the scale and I said, I am not where I want to be. And what does that mean? It means I can either do something about it or I can just continue to eat like I want to. And the thing is, we can do the very same thing spiritually. We can look at where we are. We can take an inventory of where we are in 2019, and we can say, you know what? I know I should be further along. I know I should be further along in my development, but I'm not, and I'm really not willing to put in the work. And you remain in the same place spiritually that you were in 2018. I heard a comedian say, he was working out, and he wanted to get abs. We all have abs. Some are just buried a lot deeper than others. But he says, you know what I realized after a few weeks? I like food better than I like abs. And some of us say that spiritually. I'm okay right where I'm at. I'm okay. And that, you know what? That's between you and God. But he says we are to add these things. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you possess these qualities in increasing measure. So you can say, you can put a then. If you do this, then you will keep from being unproductive and ineffective in your faith. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians out there who are unproductive and ineffective in their faith because they do not want to grow, or they don't think it's important, or they've never heard this message before. I've always had pastors tell me, I just need to be saved. That's the beginning, not the end. That is the beginning of an incredible journey that God wants to take each and every one of us on to do his purposes and to do his plans. You see, we don't like that part. I have my purposes and I have my plans, and I would much rather do them because it's easier. Well, I did that for a long, long time, and it got me in trouble more times than I care to consider. But he wants us to be effective and productive. The problem with, if we could look around in the spiritual realm, if you could see people in their spiritual state, how would people see you? Are you the baby? Are you 4 years old in your faith and you're still a baby? Are you 5 years along in your faith and you look like a toddler? Are you 10 years along and you still look like a baby? Are you 20 years along and look like a toddler? It would be interesting if we had goggles that we could put on, spiritual goggles, and we could see what other people look like in the spiritual realm. You know the one place I really wouldn't want to look? The mirror. The mirror. You see, I'd love to look at all y'all. It's like, oh, Roy, that's such a cute little baby. But I wouldn't want to look in the mirror because I'm not sure what I'd see. What would you see if you put those goggles on and you looked in the mirror? Unfortunately, there are too many people in the church and outside of the church that call themselves Christians that look like this. That's terrifying, is it not? Larry challenged you. I felt, you know what? Larry, that was a great message. How many of you were here for Larry's message? That was a great message, but it was one of those where you kind of felt like a scolded little kid. That's how I felt walking out. I don't know how everybody else felt walking out. But it challenged me. It challenged me physically, but it really challenged me spiritually. How do people see me? Larry challenged me to be a better example for Jesus Christ. That if I'm going to say I'm a pastor, do they see the love of Christ in my actions? no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter who I'm engaged with, do they see Christ? Or do they see someone who is no different than every other person in the world? And that's my challenge to you, is put those goggles on. Be like the psalmist and say, Lord, is there anything in me? Is there anything in me that's keeping me from doing what you want me to do? Is there anything in me that is keeping me from growing in my relationship with you? And if it is, if there is, show me. Show me. Put those goggles on and say, Lord, I want 2019 to be better than 2018. Both physically and spiritually in my walk with the Lord. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. But that's my challenge today, is not to evaluate other people, not to evaluate your spouses, and go home and say, you know what? I think you need to buck it up, buckaroo, because you're falling short. Nope. Pick up the mirror, take a look, and say, okay, God, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? What is the next step? And take the baby steps. Don't come to me next week and go, God called me to Zimbabwe. Let's work on the elementary foundational truths first before we send you to another country where you can't speak their language and try to share the gospel with them. Unless God really did it, you know. But he's not going to throw you into the deep end until you learn how to swim. We are to take the little steps each and every day. The little steps. And they say, God, what do you want me to do today? God, where do you want me to go today? You see, I'm hoping that I put as much effort into my spiritual development this year as I'm going to in my physical development. You ever met those people that are just gung-ho about working out? And they just love it, and they live for it, and they gotta have it, and they... the weird people that run and get that high, and it's like, oh, I've never ran. And in the middle of running, gone, oh, I love this. I hate running. I really do. I despise it. But some people like it. And you know what? To get into shape physically, different things work for different people. That's why there's 15 million different diets and 15 million different workouts and 15 million different this and that and this and that. Find the one that works for you. Spiritually, some people learn in different ways. But you need to begin to feed yourself. If you're a spiritual baby, it's time to learn to pick up that spoon. Don't just come in on a Sunday and like the baby birds do when mama comes back to the nest and just go. You know what? Mama bird eventually kicks them out of the nest. Now, we're not going to kick you out of your chairs, but we are going to teach you how to feed yourself. But you know what you need to do? Show up. When we have our Sunday morning workouts, Bible study, guess what? You need to show up. When we have our Math A2O classes on Wednesday, guess what? You need to show up. You need to find those opportunities to grow so that 2019, when you get to the end of it, you can look back and say, I've grown. I've grown. And we are here as a body to encourage and help one another grow. We are not here to say, well, you know what? Bailey, you need to grow up. You just need to grow up. Stop being a baby. No, What do? We put our arms around her, we love her, and we say, hey, this is how we grow. That's a lot better way of teaching someone how to grow than to whooping on them. Right, Bailey? You can choose. We'll whoop on you if you want. But we need to grow. We need to add to. We need to nourish ourselves physically and spiritually. And get rid of, yeah, you know, but. Yeah, well, I'd like to, but. Well, I'm going to, but. Well, I got, well, I have, but. But I've got this, but I've got, but. Some of us need to get rid of some of the buts. Physically and spiritually. You were thinking it. I knew you were. Tell me you weren't. But that's my challenge to you. Put on those spectacles, those special glasses. Look at your spouse, your kids, and look at yourself and say, you know what? Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And start it one day at a time. Amen. Please rise. We believe here at New Hope Christian Center that church is not a building that you go to. It's a family that you belong to. And we truly believe that here. It's we're here to do this together. That's why you look around and you see little kids and older kids and teenagers in 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. And Dorothy's not here to represent the 90s. But you know what? That's awesome. Because we need grandmas and grandpas in Christ. We need brothers and sisters in Christ. We need aunts and uncles in Christ. We need one another. Because something's going to happen eventually in your life that's going to be a crisis, and you're going to need people around you to help you through it. And that's what we're here to do, is to help one another, support one another, encourage one another, lift one another up. Because there's enough bashing going on in the world that there should be no place for it in the body of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and I just thank you for your word, and I pray that we would take the challenges that you've laid before us in your word and the messages the last 3 weeks, that we would take up that challenge, that we would walk each and every day more and more in you, that we would add to our faith all of these things: goodness, self-control, love, mutual affection for one another, all of these things, so that we can become the people that you've called us to be. And we pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great week.